Well, good morning. Welcome to The Refuge. If you're here for the first time, there are cards in the pocket of the seat in front of you called Get Linked Up cards, and they're just informational cards. If you have a prayer request, please put them, write them out there, give them to one of the ushers, or drop it into the box that's in the back, give it to one of the our greeters. Just make sure that we get it. We'd love to hear from you. Not only to hear what you have on your heart, to share with us and join with you in prayer, but also to know that you're here and just to send you out a little note telling you about our church and how it is that you can become a part of it. The Refuge. The title of this morning's message is called Lead Them to the Refuge. And there's just a couple reminders before we get into the message that I want to bring to your attention. One is the Bridge, College and Career, Young Adults. What I'm going to ask you to do is after service, go over to the information table and just make sure that we have your email address. What I'd like to do is email you your study, and that way you have it with you. And you know, if you don't have an opportunity to maybe write some things out, you don't have a pencil or pen, you do have a computer, you can go ahead and just put your notes in there, okay? So, no, my dog ate it. I actually saw a video, a YouTube video, where there were two little dogs that literally ate the paper as it was coming out of the printer. So it is possible. So make sure that you drop that off. Men, you've had a long time to do your study. All right. So if your dog really did eat your study, make sure you see Chuck afterwards so you can get another one. But yeah, it is due on Tuesday. All right. So two days from now, we're going to go over the study that you were given last time during last time study. And one last thing before we get into the message is Ann Graham Lotz is having a conference for you ladies at Harvest Christian Fellowship, and it's on March 23rd and 24th. What we're doing here at the Refuge is getting you together, caravanning down there. Hopefully you're able to all sit in the same section and fellowship while you're there. It is free, but on Saturday, you can pay in advance for your lunch. It's $15. So when you register, what you do to register, first of all, you need to go to the Radiant. This is the women's ministry for the Refuge. Go to the Radiant page. There's a link on there. Click on that link, and then you can get registered for the conference. We made that very easy for you. If you haven't liked the Radiant page, ladies, go on to Facebook. You know what Facebook is, right? Social media. You do? Okay. I just wanted to make sure you knew what Facebook was. In fact, if you have your phones right now, I'm going to remind you to turn them off and put them on vibrate. But before you do that, go ahead and check into the Refuge. This is, you know what it is? It's a fun way. And by the way, make sure that you turn them off and put them away afterwards. Don't stay on Facebook. It's a fun way to stay up to date on what's going on within the women's ministry. I know my wife, what she does is she'll put scripture in there, and so you'll get an update in, on certain events that are going on, as well as some word of encouragement from the Lord, from His Word. And so it's a good way of keeping up. Also, The Refuge, if you didn't know, has a page as well. And so you can go on to The Refuge Bible Fellowship, and we have a page, and you can like us there and keep up with what's going on. We also have a web page and Twitter and, I mean, what else? You can check in. Did I tell you that? We have fun with all that. And it's all part of community here within the church and continuing for it to be a place where we communicate with each other, we inform each other about what's going on. Email is a way in which we can get a quick prayer request out to everyone. So if you're not, that's one of the reasons why you fill out those Get Linked Up cards, right? You give us your email so that we can also be a community and that we're praying for each other. There were some prayer requests that went out this last week. And those of you who have smartphones and you get that email on your smartphone, you were able to look at it, read it, and pray for those people right on the spot. And it's a great tool. These are great tools. They can be perverted in their use. They really can. They can be misused. But then we can redeem that tool in that we can use it for good. We can get information out like that. We can have conversations on the go. And we can also put them away when we need to just spend time with the Lord. Okay? So make sure you do that as well. Turn them off. Did you know that your performance goes down by 10 IQ points when you're constantly checking your email? Okay. Yeah, that's pretty bad. So think about that the next time you're constantly checking your email while you're working. You've just lowered your IQ by 10 points and performing well below what you're capable of doing. So careful as well. So hold that intention. You all checked in? Okay, all right. So lead them to the refuge. This morning, what we're doing is we're doing the annual State of the Church address. Last week, in picture form, we gave you basically a breakdown of everything, almost everything that we did here within the refuge. You know, a lot of things in pictures are worth 1,000 words, right? And so I'm sure as we were going through those pictures that you were reminded of some of those events. You probably forgot about them. And so it's just a reminder. It's a glance back to praise God for what he's done through this church. But now it's time to look forward. And what I want to do this morning is remind you of what the mission and vision of the church is, so that we can all get on the same page, moving in the same direction. And if we've deviated, if we've gone a little to the left, a little to the right, we get back on track and we're going in the same direction. It's amazing when a church gains some momentum, what it is that we can accomplish. We saw that last year, especially at the beginning of the year. It was amazing what this church did and has done. And I'm really excited about 2012. It's been said that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? And that's true. You've probably said it yourself. But you have to take the time to lead a horse to water in order to give them the option to drink or not drink. Is that true? That's true for people who are presented with opportunities in their jobs, education, given a little insight in their circumstances and how it is that you can come out of them. You lead them to the water. You can't make them drink, right? But you can lead them to the water and give them that opportunity, that option. Often we say the same thing about people when we're reminded about the privilege and honor of having the gospel of Jesus Christ to lead others to. We have access to a river that's overflowing with living water, by which, once tasted, that person will never thirst again. You see, people are always looking for something to fulfill their desires, their innermost desires with. If they aren't getting their fix, then sometimes you get anxious, you get nervous, you are looking for something to fill that need. Some people even get depressed. They look for other things. They move on to other opportunities, for other things that bring them momentary pleasure. But they're never truly satisfied outside of Jesus Christ. Do you have a bucket list you want to go through? Most of us have seen that movie, right? The Bucket List. Have you heard of the movie? It's a list of things that people are, these two guys are trying to get through before the end of their lives. Some people, and I went on the internet, I just Googled bucket list. It's endless. It's endless. Things that people want to do, that think they need to do before the end of their lives. There's only one thing you need to do. in order to not only have the hope and certainty and be confident that your life was worthwhile, because it's only in one person that it's worthwhile in, but you also have the hope eternally of being in His presence. The bucket. Do you have a bucket list? Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. I got to travel here. I got to travel there. Do you think there's a better career that you believe would bring you happiness and fulfillment? Some people are always looking for a new career. Well, I don't feel satisfied here. You know, I'm not, you know, for whatever reason. There's like, I can give you all kinds of reasons. You're probably thinking of some yourself right now, right? Because you've gone through that. I've thought of that. It's like, am I in the right place? You know, not here, you know, but before. You know, am I in the right place? What am I doing? You know, and it usually those thoughts come up usually when you're having problems, right? Within your job. You ask yourself those questions. Do you think that there's a person that would bring you happiness? Some people are constantly looking for someone else. And if you're married, that's a real problem. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. Just fertilize and water your own grass. Okay? Nope. Someone will not bring you happiness. Someone else will not fulfill you. You know, in the context of marriage, for instance, it's not the other person fulfilling your needs. It's you fulfilling the other person's needs. That takes a lot of giving and taking within a marriage. And if you're giving of yourself completely to the other person, why? Because you're content and satisfied with your relationship with God. Then you won't be thinking of yourself. You'll be thinking of the other person. And if you're both doing that, what kind of a relationship would that be? One that is envied by all, right? You're not looking for satisfaction or completeness or fulfillment in your spouse. You're looking for it in the Lord. And you're looking to give. Remember, agape love. It's not phileo. It's not eros. It's agape love that you're to exercise within your relationship in the context of marriage. That's sacrificial love. So if you say to your spouse, you're not fulfilling me. Well, you're not fulfilling me. You can go back and forth. No, God is my contentment. And let me express my love for you because of the overflow of what's been given and poured into me. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, he said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. This is a Samaritan woman. She was surprised that Jesus was even speaking to her. This is the water that we offer here at the Refuge. I pray that you take that water and you go out and offer it to many other Samaritan people that are out there, Gentiles, those who don't know the living water, and offer it to them. Give them that option. Lead them to the water. Will they drink? It's not up to you. You just lead them to the water. That's the water that we offer here at the Refuge. Last week, again, we looked back at 2012. All the things, 362 pictures, you know, that we looked at last week. This morning, again, we're looking forward. Because we can't live in the past. Some of you, and I pray I'm wrong, completely wrong in this. Some of you are still living in past victories. You're looking back, the good old days, remember those? No. The best days are yet to come. The best days are yet to come. So we look forward. And I remind you of which direction we're headed as a church. That's exciting, isn't it? The Lord's mercies are new when? Every morning. Every morning. They're not yesterday's mercies. They're today's mornings. They're today's mercies. He promises those to us every single day. You know, the Christian life is dynamic. You know, the difference between dynamic and static is that static is the same old every single day. There, nothing changes. It's kind of like the same. Dynamic is never changing, always flowing, moving, changing, just going. That's what the Lord wants to do in your life. Do you feel maybe like you're stagnant? If you do, there's good news. God wants to just breathe life into you and have you energized and moving forward for his purpose, for his plans. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Not to sit in the past, but to move forward. That's exciting. 2012, what's God going to do through you? The greatest thing for God to see in his people is a deeper relationship with him. I said in his people, right? In his people, a deeper relationship with him. He wants to have that koinonia with you, that fellowship, intimate fellowship. And I believe that if you are seeking the Lord and spending that time with him, allowing him to speak to you, not just for you to give him a list of things that you are worried about, but actually just listening to him. Lord, what do you want to do through me? How is it that you want to speak to me? What are the things that need to be removed from my life in order for my life to glorify you and reflect you better? And through that, I believe that the church as a whole will fulfill their marching orders. So what are they? What are the marching orders? God's commandments for the church will be fulfilled as we submit ourselves and subject ourselves willingly and joyfully to the Word of God. This is our foundation. This is where we start, right here. The Word of God. Willingly and joyfully to the Word of God by reading it, studying it, understanding it, living it, and telling others about it. Can we do that? I know we can do that. If I can do it, you can do it. Sincerely. Our marching orders are to seek and save the lost according to Luke 19:10. Seek and save the lost. Let's put that at the top. As we seek a relationship with God, as we read, as we study the Word of God, as we pray in community and individually, let's then take that and go in the power of God and seek to save the lost. Let's be instruments of righteousness. Our marching orders are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I pray for many baptisms to take place this year. We have one coming up in March. We have them all set up already. I pray that God throws a wrench into it all and we have to schedule more. We do. It's just like just flowing. Another baptism, another baptism, another baptism. You know, pretty soon it just becomes a monthly thing. Here at the Refuge, every month we have a baptism. Every month we have a new an orientation class, a new believers class. And it's just continually going. Why? Because I'm interested in what God's interested in, into winning souls for his kingdom. A new thing this year. What are we doing? Those are our marching orders. That's what the church is to do. We believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is infallible, it's inerrant, it's inspired. It's the Word of God that's enough to prepare a person to live a life that is pleasing to God in Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We believe that Christians are ambassadors of Christ. Why? Because the Word of God tells us that we are ambassadors of Christ. We go out. We're representatives of the Most High to the world. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Oh, what honor that is. What privilege that is. Making his appeal through us. Perfection through imperfection. He is shown strong when we are weak. When we trust in him, others see that trust, and they themselves are inclined to trust. When we show and we express this faith to God and not in ourselves, it's contagious. Ambassadors of Christ. So what are the benefits of doing all this? It's like some people say, well, you have a crutch. I do. I probably need two crutches. You know, is that so bad? What's your crutch? What is it that you trust in? What is it that you're looking to fulfill that innermost desire in your life? I would pray that you examine your life and see where it is that your thoughts and your heart is, and that's your crutch. That's who you're prioritizing or what you're prioritizing in your life. What are the benefits to living a life which is morally righteous according to the Word of God? A life that is truly surrendered to Jesus Christ. What are the benefits? A life of no regret. A life of no regret. I've done several memorial services in the time that I've been ordained as a pastor. And I don't know about you, but this is just kind of like one of those fringe benefits to being a Christian, to living your life surrendered to Christ. Is that at the end of your life, you can say, you know what? I didn't pursue anything else. I pursued what was important in life. I have no regrets. Chuck Smith, I don't know if you know, he has lung cancer. Last week, he had a biopsy on Tuesday. This week, he goes into surgery. He was interviewed by Greg Laurie on Thursday at OC Harvest. And one of the things that he asked, same question that's been asked of Billy Graham and many other great men of the faith and women of the faith. If there's anything that you would do differently, what is it? You know, it's awesome. Pastor Chuck, he was stumped. He didn't know what to say. And he said, you know, I wouldn't rewrite anything for the Lord. Is that a man of no regrets? I'm sure he had some regrets here and there. But when we're trusting the Lord, I mean, Pastor Chuck knows Romans 8:28. All things work together. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? Do you believe that even the trials that are in your life are all to work out for God's glory? Do you trust him? Do you want to live without any regrets? Do you want to pursue righteousness? Do you want to be holy because God is holy? He calls us to be holy. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. In young adults, we're going through Romans. We just finished up Romans 6, Romans chapter 7. We're going into the latter portion. But in both of those, in chapter 6 of Romans, it's Paul telling the Romans that sin no longer has dominion authority over the Christian. It doesn't. In Romans chapter 7, Paul is explaining how we are no longer under the authority of the law. And I love what Greg Laurie said the other day. I heard him on the radio. He was saying the devil, Satan, would love for us to be deceived, for us to be fooled into thinking that we have absolutely no power when it comes to temptations, the temptations of the devil. Christian, let me tell you, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. What is that saying? The Holy Spirit indwells you. Greater, do you believe? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. A lot of times we take a look at our temptations and we fall to them like as if there were some pothole in the middle of the road that we had no way of avoiding, and we fall right into it. No, you do, because with temptation comes a way out, is what the Bible tells us. You just chose the wrong thing. Okay? Learn the Bible. This is our foundation. Check it out. Live it purposefully, intentionally, deliberately. That's what we need to do. Is it easy? No, I'm not saying it's easy. Is anyone perfect? No, not outside of Jesus Christ. But live a life of no regrets. Live a life without regrets. Live a life with certain hope. Is it worth it? I think it's worth everything. It's worth my whole life. Jesus, speaking in parables, said this: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys a field. Matthew 13:44. Everything. When he went by some fishermen and he said, come follow me. He didn't sit there and go, please, you know, let me. Oh, guys, you know, you're just doing the wrong thing right now. You need to follow me. And well, they knew who he was. You guys know who Jesus Christ is. You know that he offers life. For those of you who know who Jesus is, who knows what he offers, who believes that he not only died for your sins, but he was buried and he was resurrected and ascended and now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I, you too will drop your nets, drop your nets, drop your nets, and just follow him. That's what the disciples did. Drop your nets. Whatever that net is, drop it. Follow him. He'll bless you. It's funny because I'm not even close to my notes, am I? All right. Apparently this is what the Lord wants you to hear. Last week is return to your first love. Right? Figure out where you fell. That's also an interesting thing because I forgot who I was reading that said the same thing. Take the time in your time of meditation, prayer. Ask the Lord where it is that you fell off the wagon, you know, where the Lord's taking you this way. Where did you, like, just take a detour? Take your time. Go back to that place. And then repent. Change directions. And then do your first works, the works that you did at first. What are they? You remember when you first came to the Lord? I could not get enough of church. I was what you would call a fanatic, right? We talked about this last week. It's like, so when's Bible study? Tuesday nights. Okay, I'm there. There's a prayer on Saturday morning. I'm there. Oh, there's a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays. I'm there. It was just like, and it wasn't, I don't know, you know, I'm tired. I don't know if I want to go. You know, Saturday morning came, and it wasn't kind of like, oh, I'm going to sleep in. It wasn't like that. It was, I'm excited. I know this gift that I got, this treasure that I was willing to just leave everything behind for. I was excited. But I don't know what happens along the way. We lose that first love, and then we need to be brought back to it. Church, we need to wake up. We really do. But it starts with you. And then it becomes us. And then again, we get this momentum and this forward advance that just takes everything with it. The church, powerful. Let me bring you through quickly. the word spoken. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The word spoken. You'll hear the word spoken, God known, Jesus lived. You'll see that in a lot of, on our website, printed material for the refuge. The word spoken gives us an opportunity to be revitalized. I already talked about new life in Christ. That's the direction we're pointing you in. This is the direction that we're pointing others in. The word of God, it's foundational. It is through the Word of God, Scripture, the Bible, that we come to know how God, how much God loves us, His character, and how we are to live in response to the free gift of grace in Christ. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" We're going to stop there just for, you know, what I'm pointing out here. Marching orders. You can't hear without the Word of God. And that includes reading the Word of God. This is where we start. The Word spoken. Through the Word of God, a person is revitalized. Brought to life. You hear the word. I mean, in the book of Acts, Peter, Paul, they didn't go into a synagogue and just sit. They went into the synagogues and they spoke the word of God. They helped the people to understand. I mean, Paul would make many attempts in synagogues to help the Jews understand that the Old Testament was pointing towards the Savior, Jesus Christ. But he had to speak. He had to open up his mouth. Peter, what happened in Acts chapter 2? Wow, well, the same one who rejected Christ three times, who denied him three times, was there, restored by Jesus, was preaching the Word of God, and 3,000 people at one time were added to the kingdom of God. What happened? Oh, well, they repented and they were baptized on that day. Sometimes we need to think about that. No. If you've come to Christ and you have not been baptized, I would encourage you to be obedient and be baptized. You need to be baptized. Why? That's an outward expression. That's all it is. You're proclaiming to the world, I belong to God. I belong to Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you do that? Hearing by anyone else needs to be, and I pray that it's through your mouth. Lead them to Jesus Christ. Saved, a new creation. We see in the Bible how it was necessary for people to hear someone speak the word of God to be saved. Paul and Peter, I made reference to them. We'll move on to the second point. So that's a no-brainer, right? Let's do that. Let's do that, church. We need to speak the word of God. We need, with whatever knowledge you have, even if you're a new believer, you know, I'm not the person I was before. Not at all. Let me tell you, you need Jesus. You need to just have faith in Him, believe in Him, turn from your old way of living and just have faith in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. However you want to lay it out. As you gain knowledge of the Word of God, don't complicate it. Simplify it. Right? And tell them about Christ. May it come by your mouth. Okay, God known. Fortify. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let's turn there. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Sunday mornings, not only here, but we also have the children's ministry going on, Bible study. We have Tuesdays, alternating Tuesdays, we have a men's and a women's Bible study. On Wednesdays, we have youth Bible study. On Thursdays, we have young adults Bible study. The word. That's everything. How do we fellowship? Koinonia. It's centered on the Word of God. It's through prayer, the study of the Word of God, and fellowship that a person is fortified. It's a guide. The Word of God is our guide. The psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Talked about how life is dynamic, it's not static. So you want the answers to life? Dive into the Word of God. See how God gives you those answers in those times of need. He will. And then in the midst of information overload, from what the world is giving us, the Word of God is a moral compass that keeps us on the straight and narrow. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." New King James, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Be fortified by the Word of God and know the path to take. Know it. Don't be ignorant of the Word of God. You have free access to it. I mean, how many Bibles do we have? If you don't have one, come see me. I'll give you one. There's some up here. You know, please read the Word of God. Learn how to use the sword. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of God, the Word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Part of the Great Commission is to make disciples of all nations, right? Make disciples of all nations, what does it mean? It means that we are to teach everyone who God is according to His Word. We have many philosophies out there that guesstimate as to who God is. We need to go to the Word of God to know who God is, His character. In fact, there's places that call themselves churches and Christians, and they sit around and just discuss God. Well, who do you think God is? Who is God in your mind? Well, be careful. You're making God in your own image, and that's called idolatry. Go to the Word of God. That's how you're going to know the character of God. That's how you're going to know who God is. And let's move on to the third point. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We went through this last year, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read to you from verse 11. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the waves and doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, Jesus Christ, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is the place we want to come to as Christians. We want to know the Word of God. Why? Not just for our benefits, but for the benefit of the church. When you see someone kind of deviating, going off into the field, please care enough for that person to tell them. Lovingly, but tell them. You know, I am blessed to have not only the elders that tell me if I'm going off, you know, to the right or to the left, but I am blessed by having a lot of brothers and sisters who watch out for me as well. And I thank God for that. The other day I was sitting there, Hands and Feet Ministry on Thursdays this month, we're taking care of people who are in need, homeless and all that. I sat there and this guy by the name of Gary, he sat there and he says, "You know, I want to tell you something, but I hope you'll receive it." And I was talking to Robbie, he just poured into me. He had been in ministry before, and he was just encouraging me and then also warning me of some things. And it was one of those things. And he says to me, "Are you hearing me? Do you understand what I'm telling you?" I said, "Absolutely." He says, "Does it make sense?" And I said, "Yeah, it makes perfect sense." And he says, "You know what? You blessed me because you heard me out." He says, "There's many who would kind of ignore me, you know. I was blessed the other day by Gary. I'm blessed by you guys, and I pray you bless each other. Watch out for each other. The enemy is cunning. He's had years of practicing the art of deceit. You know, take care of each other." In this, Ephesians 4:11 through 16, we see that there's a responsibility for the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, so that we call release. So we revitalize, fortify, and release soul winners for Jesus Christ. That's what we do. It's at that point that I pray that you are living Jesus. You are living, you're abiding in him. You are living out the word of God maturely, growing in that maturity. Again, it's for the sake of glorifying God and building up the church. It's equipping the saints to live a prosperous life. In fact, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 1, the first three verses says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." I'm not talking about lining your pockets with money. I'm talking about everything. You're content with what God is giving you. He will give you everything that you need if you seek his kingdom first, and his righteousness is what Matthew 6:33 says. Do you meditate on his word? Do you seek him? You'll be like that tree planted by this river flowing that just continually feeds you. I'm excited. I'm excited about 2012. I'm excited for you. I'm excited about what God's going to do through this church. I'm even more energized because of my study of, I'm telling you, Romans chapter 6 and 7 gave me even more of a clear and firmer understanding of how it is that we are released from the clutches of sin, and how we're released from the clutches of the law, and temptation has no dominion over us, and how it is that the church truly is, if we realize this, release to do all good works to glorify God. We just need to quit making excuses. We need to not be complacent. We need to continually move forward. Your jobs, provision. Your jobs, a place of ministry. And then you come together to the refuge, in the refuge, and you get revitalized, you get fortified, and you get released to go do the work of the ministry. That's our responsibility. Does that all make sense? So in conclusion, I want to bring the elders up right now. Just want to let you know the Refuge is not a good old boys club. It's not a country club. It's not a museum for saints. Okay? It's a place to be revitalized in Jesus, fortified by Jesus, and released to Jesus for service in his good and perfect will in your life. Okay. Paul, speaking to the Philippians, said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you." God works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Lacking nothing. He is your sufficiency. He will revitalize you. He will fortify you. He will build you up. And I pray that you understand that you are also released to do his work, whatever God has called you to do. There's some things that are common to everyone. There are other things that are specific to you. What are they? I would say, follow your marching orders and do that work.